I want to thank the church for giving us another opportunity to be here. It's been a while, probably 9 or 10 years at least, since the last time we was here. But I'm thankful I still remember. That was a good service, and that was a good day to be at the house of the Lord amongst brothers and sisters. And it's good when you know people are praying for you. Amen. And so I pray and desire, I desire your prayers. Please pray as we go into this message. We need to take a few verses, our thought, in the book of Revelation, in the second chapter, I believe it is. In the second chapter of the book of Revelation, Jesus was speaking unto John there on the Isle of Patmos. He wanted to write these things unto the churches. And we was going to read just verse 4 and 5, but I guess we'll start from the first verse. So starting with the first verse here, chapter 2 in the book of Revelation, it says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted." Verse 4, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent." And I'll stop reading right there. That's reading verses 1 through 5. Our thought, really, that's on our heart, comes from that fifth verse. I want to point out there, it says, "And do the first works." Now, if you just think about on a personal level, whenever you come to the knowledge of the truth that you was lost and undone without God, many of us, they prayed, we prayed, I prayed. If you've been saved, you prayed. Prayer was the first thing I did that got in touch with God. In that prayer, it was believing. In that prayer, it was my supplication. It was a plea, a cry for help. What got me there? Godly sorrow and the fear of the Lord. Coming to the knowledge of the truth that we needed to be saved more than anything else. Many of us, we made promises unto God that we would do anything that He asked us. Whatever it took, Lord, if you just save my soul. There's a begging that takes place in that prayer. I want you to remember that. If you're going to walk with the Lord and have a spiritual walk with Christ, we got to have a prayer line. We've got to keep in touch and be able to pray. In order to get a prayer through, you have to be clear. You can't have aught against brothers or sisters, or else things that you're trying to hide from the church. And trust me, you ain't hiding it from the Lord. He knows everything. So we might as well get those things out between us and God. And He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's always there to help us to take the right path. And He said that there's not going to be a temptation that comes upon us that we are not able for Him to make a way to escape. We're not able to bear. He's always got means. I heard it quoted this morning. The scripture says, submit yourself unto Christ, resist the devil, and he will flee. You've got to submit yourself unto Christ. I remember when I submitted and I yielded unto Christ to get saved. There's a yielding, a submission. We lay it down. We quit fighting against it. We quit running from it. We quit hiding. Trust me, like Adam did in the garden. He tried to hide himself. He tried to fix it. He tried to hide himself. There is no hiding from God, is there? And after we get saved, there's no hiding from God. And there's some out there, maybe listening tonight, that's been saved and never joined the church. I believe God will lead every one of them to join his church. If you've got a desire to follow the Lord, he will lead you to unite with his body. Amen. And he'll place you in there as it pleases him, because he knows where he can use you to the best of your ability. And it may not be in one place your whole life. But God may lead you here. He may lead you there. But know this. When you follow him and you walk with him, he'll not lead you wrong. And it'll be blessed. It will be a blessed road, a blessed path. Now think about the first words. I remember seeing a little girl get saved. It didn't take much. The church was rejoicing. There was other ones that were seeking. And she went to them and bowed and prayed for them that God might save their soul. That was one of the first things that child did after she got saved. There is a love that God sheds abroad in our heart when we believe in Christ. That Spirit of Christ takes up its abode. And that Spirit is love. And there's two places, I believe, in the New Testament where it says God is love. I believe one's in the 24th chapter of Matthew. We may turn over and read the other one. I believe it's in 1 John. But my friend, that love, that word, agape, that love of God is unconditional. It is a selfish love. It's a love that's not going to benefit us. It's not that we're loving people or God that it benefits us. It is just that indwelling Spirit of Christ that is shed abroad in our heart. And I tell you, we will put up walls and we will put up fronts and we will try to harden ourselves in certain situations in front of certain people. When God saves you, that heart is so tender and pure and full of love. It just begins to live again. It's so good. And my friend, from the moment you get saved, you want to see everybody saved. I know I did. It was good. And trust me, that's the place we need to get back to if you find yourself discouraged or cold or indifferent. You need to get back to praying. You need to get back to being clear with the Lord. And you need to let the love of God that's unconditional melt away or strip away all them other things. You know, the Bible also says that God is a consuming fire, and he will purify us in our lives. He will, just like a refiner of gold and silver, precious metals, they heat it up with fire, and it strips out all the impurities. Well, after you get saved, then we have a choice to serve the Lord, to walk with him, if he leads you to unite with his church, to try to keep ourselves clean, where God can use us. And I tell you, there's the effort. There's where a sanctifying of our lives comes into place. And I'm thankful God's able to help us with that. Amen. I tell you, as a teenager, I got away. My heart and my desire got away from trying to see people saved. I quit talking to my friends about them getting saved. I quit asking them to come to church with us. I got out there in the world. I put on a front, a shell. And I tell you, if it wasn't for the love of God and his long suffering, I wouldn't be here today even after that. I tell you, I often say, if the Lord hadn't saved me, I wouldn't be here today. That's the truth. But then the Lord chastened me. I was chastised. And that was about the best thing that the Lord done for me after, you know, leading me to unite with his church. because he let me know he loved me. And you know what he let me know? I'm thankful when God does something, he don't leave you in darkness. You know where it says a servant doesn't know what his master's doing? And then he goes on to say, but you know exactly what the cause is, what the vision is, what the plan is. He's seeking to save them who are lost. And we're not in darkness in this thing. And he said, so no longer do I call you servants, but I call you friends, brothers and sisters. If so be that we'll labor and we'll suffer with Christ, my friend, it takes something to be known as a friend of God. Abraham offered up his only child. It was a promised child at that time. But he believed. The Bible says, and I love how that wisdom and knowledge and that spirit, it was handed down from generation to generation. That same spirit that inspired all the scripture in the Old Testament, inspired the Apostle Paul, I believe it was, he wrote, or at least it may have been the Hebrew writer. Either way, it was written that Abraham believed God so much that he knew even if he took the life of Isaac, his only son there, that God was still able to fulfill his promise. Amen. That's how much he believed that God was going to be able to take care of it. Now that's faith. He was a faithful man. But if we'll get close to the Lord and we'll walk close to him, I've often said, I believe the closer that we'll walk with the Lord here, the closer we'll be with him up there. I just believe that. The Apostle Paul said that he was running this race to win. Just like they run natural races down here to win a prize, he was running that spiritual race and doing the best he can, like to win. I want to encourage you because I spent a time in my life where the devil had me convinced that just because I was saved, that's all that mattered. Well, my friend, that's not all that matters. God saved each and every one of us to be a witness for him and to show that same love to the whole world. Amen. That love is a difference maker, my friend. And he said that they had left their first love. And I'm thankful God sent a warning out to them. I had to be warned. And the Lord let me know. He gave his life for me. The least I could do was to live my life. And he made that very plain. Then he sent a messenger, and he pointed me out. I tell you, when you see a preacher in the middle of preaching, he keeps eyeballing you, and he can't stop. Finally, I'm just thankful he followed the Lord. He said, the Lord wants me to tell this brother right there that you'll not, the best life you can live is to live your life for Christ. And I thought, Lord, I needed that. Such a blessing. It's so good to serve the Lord. And you got to be at his house in order to receive those blessings like that. But this thought, to do the first works. Now we need to, as churches and as individuals, we need to grow in the grace and knowledge of the truth. Amen. We need to take his yoke upon us and learn of him. But then he says, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye will find rest unto your souls. You know how you'll find rest unto your souls? Live a simple life in this world. Have a few things that matter, my friend. God being first and foremost. If you got a family, you're responsible to take care of your wife and children as a man. And as a woman, take care of your husband and your children. My friend, if you're a child and been saved, obey your parents. And don't forget that your testimony is as good as anybody else's testimony. You're saved just as much as I am. If you've been saved by God's grace, you got something to tell the world about. Amen. Do the first works. Don't leave those things off, I tell you. I know I've heard some kids, little kids, after they get saved, boy, when they get up and they begin to testify, and that spirit and that love, woo, it's just flowing out of them. It will bless the whole congregation. And I know of a couple, and today they're not going to church like they once did. Pray for them. God knows exactly who they are. Buddy, I pray for them. They mean something to me. I love every brother and every sister that I've ever heard give a testimony of salvation or of God answering their prayers and giving him praise. It means something. They stick out in my mind. I'm thankful for that cloud of witness, aren't you? Yeah. I sure am. doing the first works, even though we may grow in grace and knowledge of the truth and of the things in this book, do not forget that to be meek and lowly in heart, you will find rest unto your souls. Once you get heady or high-minded or think that you're something, God will resist you. And he said he would. He said he resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. You had to humble yourself in the sight of God before he would lift you up out of sin and set you free, my friend. Get back there and stay there. You know, when they asked who shall be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, he called for the little child. He set that child in front of them. He said, except you come like this little child and be converted, you will in no wise enter into the kingdom. Then he goes on to say, and I'll paraphrase it, but you read it. He says, basically, those that remaineth as such shall be great in the kingdom of heaven. You must be like a loving child, my friend. You realize how that is? I've had to discipline my children, and they still love you. You know, it don't matter. The world, many times they get offended. They don't want nothing to do with you anymore. Our brothers and sisters, the Lord told us not to be that way. If someone offends us and hurts us, we're not to return evil for evil, but to overcome evil with good. And that's for the people of God, for his church. That's how we should live. That's what Jesus did, my friend. He showed nothing but love. When they spat in his face, when they put that crown of thorns upon his head and hit him over the head with that reed, they mocked him. The dear Savior. And you know what? They marched him up Golgotha's hill. My friend, his back was torn to shreds. He shed his blood all the way up that hill, my brothers and sisters. Consider what Christ went through. Marred worse than any other man. And he becomes shame and sin for us. And as he hung on that tree, he said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. That's an unconditional, selfless, agape love, my friend. That's the kind of love. And we'll turn over here to the book of 1 Corinthians in the 13th chapter, because this is exactly, and we can't leave here without reading it, what we'll get to over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This love is something special. I had a pastor in the past. He said it means love. My friend, charity means so much more than love. It's one of the greatest words I've ever thought about and dug into, because it's what God had for us, my friend, even when we were yet sinners. Amen. My friend, before God ever created the heavens and the earth, he stood as a lamb slain before the foundations of this world. That love said, I'll go to that cross and I will bear their sin and die for them, that they could have eternal life and they could be here with us. He delighted in the children of men, the Bible says, and he was ready to come forth. Why? He knew the glory that was ahead, my friends. He was willing to suffer those things for us. And when he came, he didn't come like a mighty ruler and all proud and boastful and talking down to everybody. No, he was meek and lowly in heart. And if you're going to follow Christ, you're going to have to be meek and lowly in heart, or you won't be able to do much good walking with him. Why? I'll read this. That leads us right here to this 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the first verse. The Apostle Paul, writing this unto the church, and he's speaking here concerning himself. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. I think he pretty much sets it in the standard, in the place where it ought to be regarded. Even though we might know all the scriptures, could quote the book from front to back without ever breaking the lid on it, word for word, without mistake. If you don't have unconditional love and meekness and lowliness, my friend, and esteeming one another higher than yourselves, and loving and walking with God because you love him and you want him to be lifted up and you want all men to come to the knowledge of the truth, it ought to be our first love to see lost souls saved. Amen. The Lord did that for us. That ought to be our first love. And again, we may have all knowledge of the book. Don't forget the first words. Don't leave those off. It don't matter how much knowledge you have. You better be in tune with the Lord praying. You better be willing to be used by him, my friend. He said, to do good and communicate, forget not. That means we need to be out there talking to people. You know, like I said, I started out and I was telling my friends. One of them, I believe and hope, by his own testimony, he got saved, not too long after I got saved. My granddaddy come up there and helped in revival at Harmony, and he would come to church, and I told him I was saved. And he said he got saved during that revival. He never joined the church. He quit coming. He moved away. And, you know, he passed away a year and a half ago. By his own testimony, he said he was saved. I hope that he was. That's important. We can't control what people do after. We sure need to follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost and tell them to flee the wrath to come. And I believe every man and woman can do that. Why? Our testimony is powerful. The Lord let me know I was separated. Let me know I would go to hell. Let me know I needed to be saved. And when it happened, there was peace, and it was a feeling like I never felt. How powerful is that? If people would just share it. Some people may laugh, but I tell you what, they don't forget them things. They don't forget them. Let's finish this chapter. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. That word vaunteth means boast or brags or lifts itself up. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity or lawlessness or sin, but rejoiceth in the truth, bearing all things, believing all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. I'll just stop reading. Well, no, I'll finish it out. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. My friend, we can trust in what the Lord says about it. And I don't want you to forget, when you leave here today, you consider those things. The first words, God realized the test that they had went through in the church at Ephesus. God knows our faith and our walk with him. He knows how long we've been on this road with him, my friend. And yet he still expects us, no matter what we suffer in this world, no matter what they might throw at us, no matter what might happen, even if we lose a child, even if we lose a companion, even if we lose our eyesight, even if we lose one of our legs, even if we lose our home, No matter what we might face in this life, my friend, we better have faith and hope for tomorrow, my friend. For Jesus is that lively hope. But we better continue charity and unconditional love, my friend. Now that child, he's talking about foolish things. After you get saved, my friend, and you grow up, you need to put off the silly things and all the playing around in this world, because we've got but a short time, my friend. This life is like a vapor, appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. Let's work while we have time. The Bible says, redeeming the time. Take hold of it. Take advantage of the gift that God has given you. Strive, it says over there, for the best gifts, my friend. God gives gifts to the churches. You need to strive to find out the best gift that God's got for you. And then you let your light shine. And that love, my friend, you share and you let that shine unto a lost and dying world. It's the hardest thing to even think about. But the Lord let them beat him in the face, blindfold him and slap him in the face and say, why don't you tell us who it was that hit you? Could you imagine? Buddy, I've been there thinking about it. And then think about what it says when Peter looked upon him and the Lord looked right at Peter. And then that crow, that cock crowed that third time, my friend. Can you imagine how Peter felt? You think, I haven't felt that low. I've denied the Lord many times. I told just a few weeks ago, I could get up behind the pulpit and let the Lord use me and just peel the old flesh away and let him shine, my friend. And I can leave here and go somewhere to eat. And I can't even say anything to somebody. Ask them, have they been saved? Or say something to them. My friend, we need to work outside of these four walls. The church here in this place, the sanctuary, my friend, they used to have prayer meetings when it was on people's hearts or when there was something bad that was happening. We need to have a prayer meeting and come together as a church and pour our heart out unto God for this, our church member that is suffering or struggling. They used to have benefit singings, my friend. And there might be some preaching breakout and some shouting breakout in these services. Why? It's good when the people of God come together with these burdens on our hearts. And God is pleased with that. And he pours out that blessing. It just assures you that God's going to make a difference. And he's going to make a change. He's going to make that crooked path straight. When they come together on Sunday morning, we ought to be inviting people that his house may be full of sinners in unbelief, that they could hear Jesus and him crucified. That's all I knew when the Lord saved my soul. That's the first thing I knew. Yes, Jesus lives. Buddy, he set me free. He heard that prayer. I was believing. I love how it comes together. Repentance and faith. Like I said, that godly sorrow worketh unto repentance. It brings you there. Why? You start believing. Hey, this is real. I need Jesus. He's there. You start calling on him. You're trusting that he'll hear that prayer. And you're believing, my friend. And when you get in touch, you're never the same. When you finally get through to Jesus, everything changes. Brother Phil read that verse today. Everything becomes new. He said, I started thinking differently about everything. The things that used to matter don't matter anymore. All that matters is telling people about Jesus. And he's tried to live it. And it makes me ashamed sometimes because he's tried to live it. And I thought, I've done so little in my lifetime. I want to do more. I'm thankful he knows our heart. When I get to that place, I say, Lord, I want to do more. Well, he's there to help you do more. Just be willing. Without him, we can do nothing. And without that love for a lost and dying world, a love for the Lord, a love for the church, a love for our brethren, We can't do any good. We've got to have that. And if something is taking that away, you need to get it clear with the Lord as soon as possible. I'm thankful his ears are not dull, that he can't hear. I'm thankful that his arm is not short, his hand is not short, that he cannot say to the uttermost, forgive whatever we've done and establish our going today. Amen. We serve a good God, don't we? Amen. Boy, he's been merciful to me. He sure has. And I've never regretted a day that I've walked with the Lord. I've never regretted a moment since the Lord saved my soul. I really haven't. I've regretted some of my actions. I've never regretted the night I got saved. That's the most important thing to me. Now, the Apostle Paul said when he came unto those people, see, they begin to go out. He went out. A church is established, but the people need to go out and share the good news that Jesus saves today with the whole world. Show them that love. Show them why we're so happy. Let them hear that new song, my friend. And maybe, just maybe, some of them will come to the house of the Lord that they could hear the truth as well. More so planting and watering that God can give the increase. Bring forth one more fruit tree. I'm thankful for every one of them along the way that shared that fruit with me. It's been sweet, brothers and sisters. So sweet to hear the testimonies along the way. You used to hear, instead of so many broken hearts and prayer requests, my friend, many times in church, I remember the old sisters, they would talk about how God answered their prayers or helped this one or their child or did something that was great that week. They would just give him honor and glory. Stand up and just thank the Lord for what he done for them, brothers and sisters. And it's important that we do it while we have time. Let's worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Amen. You know, he said, he seeketh such a people. Let's be a part of those people. We have a shot. You've got a chance. It's the greatest chance. Aren't you thankful? Just thankful to be saved today. Just thankful to know we have a friend in Jesus. I think I said it last week. So I said, I'm so thankful he's not my enemy, and I don't want to be his. I don't want to stand in his way. I thank you for the opportunity, brothers and sisters. I thank you for your attention and for your prayers. That's our message. We'll turn it over to your pastor. Thank you, brother mine.
Certainly thankful for the message that's preached tonight. Good instruction that was given. Sister Rachel, if you don't mind, get us a song and we can all stand and sing and think about the words.